It's great to have you all here. I hope you slept well. I know the servants didn't, which means you had a good time, which is fine. But it's great to have you here, and it's great to be here now. This time of year has become a time when we all share together, and we all come together to reflect on a particular topic. And every year we try to make it something which is very relevant. Because when we come together and we work together and we study together and we pray together, that communicates also to what you do in your parishes and hopefully what you also do in your own personal lives. Because don't forget that whatever we present here is not meant just to be for here. What we present here is for you to live by. What we all try to live by. And when we bring you all together from various parishes, from various parts of the country, it's so we can learn from each other as well. Because when we speak to each other, when we share in fellowship, when we learn from each other, we'll become enriched. Now, one thing that's very important to all of us is our church. That's why we're here. And it's our church because we believe our churches, in the ecclesia language, we refer to the church as our mother. It's the place where we come for refuge, the place where we are nurtured, where we are encouraged, the place where things actually inspire us to become better people and to live better lives. And we're really blessed. We're really blessed to have a church that brings us together. And there's one point I want to make right from the outset. And I want you to know this. Now you know me. And you know the kind of work I do, not only in our church, but with other churches. I have the greatest respect and the greatest love for all of our other sister churches. So anything that I or anyone says here about our church does not implicitly mean that we are marginalizing or making less of other churches. Because that's sometimes a problem we fall into. We feel like if we speak about our own blessings, we're almost rubbishing other people. But that's not true. What is true is we need to understand the treasure we have and the gift that we have and the beauty that's been given to us, while at the same time appreciating that there are other people who may do things differently. We may disagree, but it's still with the greatest respect and the greatest love. So when I say that we're happy to have our church, it's because that's what God has given us. He has given us into this family, into this church, into this life. It's really easy, whether we're speaking about your family, or your close circle of friends, or your church, it's really easy for us to take the people or the things closest to us for granted. Because they're there all the time. You know you can fall back on them, you know you can go back to them, you know that there's really nothing that's going to shake that relationship. It happens with our own families when we take them for granted. You'll realize you'll give much more respect sometimes and value to other people outside your homes as you do more than you do to people in your homes. And so I feel that this is something that we sometimes do. Now, the theme for this year is, as you know in your booklets and on the screens, hidden treasure. That brings forth two components. The first thing is that it is most definitely, irrefutably, a treasure. We have been given a treasure. We've been given something that is really valuable. Those of you who've been in my office recently will know that I collect old things. Right? I like little old things that I collect. And if you haven't, come by and I'll show you. Why? Because they bring heritage, they bring history, they have a connection. The oldest thing I have is probably 100 years old. 120 years old. Think of something that we have that is 2,000 years old. And any fans of the antique roadshow here, I'm sure you're all glued to your televisions every time it comes because you like the guy in the funny hat and the funny trousers and bow ties. But anyway, besides fashion sense, that sense of looking for things that are old and things that have a history and a heritage is something we find really appealing, very exciting. So what about our church that brings forth 2,000 years of heritage? 2,000 years. Anything that is able to live for 2,000 years and incorporate people and bring people together. And imagine 2,000 years ago, there were people like yourselves sitting in Alexandria with St. Mark. Imagine that. Those are the ancestors. Those are people who you have a direct connection with. When I look at my priesthood, myself as a priest, as a bishop, I can trace my priesthood back to St. Mark and through him to our Lord Jesus Christ directly. When he blew into their faces, he breathed into their faces and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." That same breath is what communicates into my ministry and the ministry of our fathers, the priests and the bishops and the Pope until today. It is an unbroken line. So it definitely is a treasure. It is priceless. You can't buy old things. You can't even reproduce old things. They're not the same. If you get something that's actually antique and then a reproduction, you can tell the difference. You can tell. And so you can't reproduce what we have. That's what makes it priceless. You can't get it anymore. Having said that, it is also, and we also can't deny this, sometimes, often, a very hidden treasure. We don't see the value anymore. That treasure, and you know, when I talked about the link for 2,000 years and your ancestors, I saw people's faces light up. But then when you cover that in liturgies and fasts and prayers, and you can do this and you can't do this, and you stand on this side of the church, not stand on that side of the church, it clouds it. It covers it. And we start, first of all, to not see the beauty, and secondly, forget its value. The church is beautiful, not just because it's a beautiful place, but for what it brings to us. It brings us into the presence of Christ. And within Orthodoxy, and you know the definition of Orthodoxy, because sometimes you can use the word Orthodox for other things. You know, if you're a sportsman, you can have an Orthodox style or unorthodox style. If you're an artist, you have an Orthodox, unorthodox, with a small O. It just means traditional or direct. Direct, straight from the source. Like I said to you, our teachings, my teachings, stem straight from St. Mark and from him to today, which he received from our Lord Jesus Christ himself. In that context, it is direct. That's why there are things in our church that don't change. But we need to make a distinction between the things that don't change and the things that can change. The things that don't change are our theology, our dogma, our faith. We don't touch those. Because they are not only built on the teachings of St. Mark. What is the foundation of Orthodox learning? It's Scripture. Everything we do is biblical. If you look at our liturgy, it is all directly from Scripture. If you look at our tasbihah, our midnight praises, look at any service we do. It's all directly from Scripture. We have such an important connection with Scripture, technically, but do we read our Bibles? We also have another source of teaching in the church, and that is tradition. And you'll hear a lot about small T and capital T tradition. But I want to explain that briefly. Small T tradition is custom, cultural tradition, in terms of how you interact with people, even sitting on different sides of the church. That's cultural. That's something the church saw as a way of regulating, as a way of sort of giving order to the service, and that's why we sit on different sides. In terms of the language we use, that's small T tradition, because we were a church that was Coptic, built on Coptic as a language, lived in Egypt, used Arabic. But then obviously, when Arabic became the language of Egypt, we used Arabic. When we have moved outside of Egypt, we use different languages as well. It doesn't mean we leave the Coptic behind, but it means we also adapt. So that kind of thing we can adapt. The fact that I'm standing here in front of you speaking to you, if you think 50 years ago in our church, there would not have been a bishop sitting with a group of youth speaking in English so casually. It wouldn't have happened, because the culture was very different back then. So that's the small T tradition that is actually moving and changing. I know it seems really difficult to believe, but our church, amongst the traditional churches, is one of the most adaptive and responsive churches there are. At least we adapt to language, to length of liturgy. Liturgy originally was so much longer. But over time it has become shorter, believe it or not. I mean, those of you who know the liturgy of St. Basil that you will pray every Sunday in your churches, that now takes maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours. Used to take 6 hours. So be thankful. But then there's the capital T tradition, the things we don't change, which are the teachings of the fathers. You hear names like Saint Athanasius, Saint Cyril of Alexandria. They're not only pillars in our church, they are pillars of Christianity. The creed that we pray here, the creed that we recite here, is a creed that was formulated by Saint Athanasius during the ecumenical council, and was adapted and adopted by the whole church. That's our tradition. That's the tradition that we also. And what is that? Some people will say to you, why should we follow the teachings of men? All the fathers did is interpret Scripture. If you look at the writings of the fathers, all of them, St. Cyril, St. Athanasius, all of the fathers, all they did for us was interpret Scripture. So realistically, we're a very biblical church. But we are adaptive. And I also have a very particular view on this, and I will share it with you. The church is the body of Christ, right? That's what we call it. That's what St. Paul tells us it is. As the body of Christ, it must be living and it must be responsive. If something is not living, if something is not responsive, it's dead. And the church is by no means dead. So the church needs to continue to be responsive to you. In the way that you now grow up, in your lives at the moment, in the way that life treats you and you interact with life. I guarantee you that 50 years ago there would not have been a cathedral with screens and monitors and this kind of thing. But that's very normal, because there's nothing wrong with it. It has to be responsive. In terms of our own youth ministry, in terms of our sports ministry, in terms of our cultural ministry, our art and film awards, all the apparently crazy things that we do sometimes, but actually, it's what we should be doing, because we're responding to you and to your needs. So it's important for us to understand that we have things to hold on to. Now, we all need to move ahead. Absolutely. But in moving ahead, you don't throw everything away behind you. What you do is you pick things up and you build on them. It's almost like wanting to build a building, and every time you lay a couple of lines of bricks, you knock them down and then lay another couple of lines of bricks, then knock them down and do the same. That's not where we should be. Where we should be is you build the bricks and then you build on them and on them and on them. That's what we're doing now. That's what we do. As a generation, we are a line of bricks in this huge building that is the body of Christ, that is His church. We build on what has been given to us. It becomes our foundations. We sit on that foundation. And then, being firm in ourselves, we are also built upon. So we become part of a process. Don't ever think that to become more modern or to become better, you have to leave everything behind. We have to be careful what we leave behind, what we take with us. What we take with us is the unchangeable, the foundation. What we leave behind are things that are not absolutely essential. And that's where we need to work together. The whole church needs to work together. We work together because we think with each other. And you know, again, in our youth ministry here, and in my interaction in your own churches, we work together on ideas. What would you like to do? When we started the Art and Film Awards, a group of youth came to me and said, "No, we think this is a really crazy idea and you're never going to agree to it. But what do you think?" And I said, "Sounds great. Why don't we do it?" Because it did sound great. It was creative. We've got some of you now who are looking after the kids' conference. And bring together all your craziness to the kids' conference. But it's great. It's dynamic. It's a beautiful thing. Don't ever look at the church as me. I'm not the church. We are the church. All of us. And we are all valued equally. And we are all equally responsible. Don't sit there in those pews and pretend and think that I am the one who's going to do everything. Because I can't. Because the body doesn't work with one member. And at the end of the day, I am just one member. I may be a bishop in the church, but I'm just one member like you. Your input is as important as mine, if not sometimes even more important. We need to have ownership of this church. It is ours together. I sometimes find that young people sit back and they think that, okay, we're here for the ride. If I like it, I'm going to be involved. If I don't, I'm going to opt out. You can't opt out of this body. You are part of its success and part of its failure. You are part of it moving forward and part of it being stagnant and standing still. And that's where you need to take responsibility as well. And that responsibility sometimes means to challenge us. Challenge me, but challenge me properly. Challenge me politely. Challenge me appropriately in a way that builds. Just as I will challenge you. Because at the end of the day, it's a journey for all of us to move together. It's a journey for all of us to survive. Because when one part of the body, as we read, is happy and strong, then we're all strong. If one part of the body is moving forward successfully, then we all move together. I want to just share one very small passage with you before I finish. And it comes from St. Paul's first epistle to St. Timothy, chapter 4. St. Paul says to St. Timothy, who was young bishop in the church, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Be an inspiration to people in your church, in your conduct, in your life. He goes on to say, "Do not neglect the gift that was given to you." What we have from the church is a gift. This treasure is a gift. This blessing is a gift. We should not neglect it, but we need to nurture it. Meditate on these things and give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Don't just sit back and do things. Give yourself. Be dedicated. How many of you are really bored listening to me right now? How many of you switched off? Because you think, oh, this is nothing to do with me. It's everything to do with you. It is everything to do. Because one day, believe it or not, one of you could be standing here in my place. Whether you're a bishop or a priest or a servant, this is where the church is. This is your role. I, believe it or not, I wasn't just born like this. They don't sort of plant bishop seeds and you end up getting bishops. You know, I was born into a family. I lived a life like you live. I lived in Australia. I went back to Egypt, joined a monastery. And I'm here today. It's a process. And you are being built every day. Respond to that building of yourself. Respond to how you are being built. Respond to how God is working in you. Because God wants to build us up. But we can be resistant. We can say no. Respond to God giving you this treasure. We can say no, thank you. I don't want it. Fine, great, but I don't want it. And that's totally within our prerogative. Completely within our right to reject it. But how much do we miss out when we reject it? How much do we lose by not taking this beautiful treasure? So live it. And live it so that its effect, as St. Paul says, becomes evident in you. And I mean evident in you, I mean evident. Absolutely evident. In the way you live, in the way you speak. People look at you. That's what our Lord said about letting your light so shine. Because people see this life in you. People see this presence in you and glorify God and give thanks to Him because of you. He goes on to say, take heed of yourself and of the doctrine. Please, take heed of yourself and of the doctrine. Have you heard of the shopping trolley model of Christianity? You're in a supermarket, you have your shopping trolley, and you go down the aisle. And you'll only pick the things you want. I'll take one of these, no, I don't want that. One of these, two of these, no, that's not very good. That can't be how we deal with church. We can't just take the youth conferences and the social activities and the gatherings and forget the doctrine, the teaching, the hymnology, and the prayers and the praises. Don't just take what suits you. Take what's good for you. Because, you know what? If you only took what suited you as an infant, you would probably have the same survival rate as infants who live and unfortunately die very young in third world countries. But here, you take what's good for you as well. You take your immunization. You take your nourishment. You take your health instructions. I'm sure kids don't like eating things that are good for them. They don't like doing things that are good for them. If you give any child the choice, they probably wouldn't go to school. But we can't be like that. We're not infants. Take the package. Take the whole treasure. Take the whole treasure. Don't just take what suits you. Take the whole thing. Take the whole package. Because if we just take bits and pieces, it's never complete. He goes on to say, in doing this, you will both save yourself and those who hear you. Now, as Christians and as a church, we have a responsibility. And that responsibility is, it's a whole thing. It's a whole treasure together. If you were to see this chest as it is, and I was to say to you, it looks good, looks old, it looks like it has valuable things, Will you take the whole thing? Or will you just take a little bit of it? Now surely you will take the whole thing. Because once you open it, you realize what a beautiful treasure it is. The church is yours. The church is yours. And being yours, you get its privileges of this wonderful treasure, but you also have responsibilities because this treasure is entrusted to you. The benefits, the privileges are visible, they're evident. Our fellowship here, you all being part of a much bigger church, and even as the wider church of God in the whole world, with every Christian as the body of Christ. But as an Orthodox church, we have an immense amount of treasure that God has given to us. In our liturgies, in our readings, sometimes we just don't put in the effort to understand. We take the short route of judging on the outside and thinking, don't like it. But look at the beauty. Understand the beauty. And we're hoping that over this weekend, that beauty will be exposed to you even more. Now, I'm sure you already know it. I'm sure you already feel it. But it'll be exposed to you even more. And I hope that as you leave this weekend, you will leave with a much greater and newer appreciation for what we have been given in our church. This hidden treasure is not only in this chest or anything else, it's in our hearts. A treasure that is actually, as I said to you yesterday, made up of all of us, because you are part of that treasure. The church is not building. The church is not just sacraments. The church is not just rituals. The church is everything, but the church first and foremost is people. Members of the body of Christ who come together. So I pray that this weekend is a time for us, for our eyes, to be opened even wider to the beauty that we have been given, to the value, to the riches, to the treasure, and that knowing this treasure and valuing it, that we can live in a way in which we make the best of it, take ownership of it, know that we are entrusted with it, be faithful over it, but we can also share it with each other. That the glory of God may work in us and may work through us in the world. And glory be to God forever. Amen.